Chapter 8. Whoops, this is the part about the face-eating dinosaur. New email from Chip Collins to Julie Taylor. Date, February 29, 2020. Subject, whoops, this is the part about the face-eating dinosaur. Hi, Julie. Okay, so I'm getting to the dinosaur. So we're in Marie Curie's lab now. I had imagined it would be directly beneath the Eiffel Tower, her vast underground lair, like 20 stories down, complete with the Avengers Quinjet and a nuclear reactor. But no, it's just some random three-room laboratory on the sixth floor of some random building on some random Paris street. Some random guy Calvin even has to buzz us up. After a nice, long, well-deserved nap, we're invited over to the lab part, and I spot something weird out of the corner of my eye. Something's peeking out from behind a cabinet. What the fuck is that? Excuse my French. That is French? What French is that? Forget it. What the... But before I can let loose another French swear word, it's coming at us straight from me and Gigi. A fucking dinosaur. 7 feet tall, a velociraptor, I think. Look at me, Chip the paleontologist. With razor-sharp claws, an escapee from Jurassic Park moving on us like the professional hunter it is. And for just a split second, the last split second I have left in my short life, I wonder why no one else is screaming like a little girl. Not even the two little girls right next to me. And that's when the near-death moment happens, and Gigi squeals, "Tyra!" And the thing says, calm as anything, "Tyra? Do I look like a Tyra?" I'm gobsmacked. Wow, I got to use that word twice. By the way, don't be surprised if you hear it again. "What the fuck?" Excuse my French again. "Master Chip!" Marie shouts, "That is not French!" And the dinosaur, not big, purple, cuddly Barney, not by a fucking long shot, rolls its eyes like it's been in this predicament many, many times before, and sighs. "My name is Calvin. All right, let's get this over with. You newbies are all the same. How far back shall I go? To when the earth cooled?" Why am I the only one freaking out about this? I whip my head around and everyone just kind of shrugs. Pete says, "Dude, Marie told us on the way here. You were too busy talking to Bobo."
Bee's knees.
Okay, whatever. Yeah, shit's crazy, don't ask. I get it. But man, Tyra, Calvin, you just scared the piss out of me and my kid. I point down to Gigi, who's already hugging his leg. Okay, well, you scared the piss out of me. Whatever, can somebody catch me up? And Calvin cracks his knuckles and inhales, and I crack my own knuckles and take out my phone, because here comes another mini-sub-novel. Shitstorm, The Adventures of Calvin the Dinosaur, Nazi Spy Ninja. As told by Calvin the Dinosaur, ghostwritten by Chip, Master of Interdimensional Travel, Collins. Calvin throws his snout up in the air. "The dinosaur? Really? That's like titling your story Chip the Mammal. If you're going to be childish, at least be specific. Calvin the Deinonychus. And Ninja? You're just making things up." "Sorry, it sounded cool. Ninja makes everything sound cool. I'll take it out in the second draft. Hey, is Deinonychus the same as Velociraptor?"
"Do I look like a velociraptor?"
I fidget. "Yes."
"And the title, Shitstorm, any bearing on reality at all?"
I shrug. "Sounds cool." He just rolls his eyes and begins the unbelievable tale.
"In our dimension, the meteor extinction event approximately 66 million years ago didn't quite do the trick. A tiny number of our species survived. No other species, including Velociraptor, escaped death. And we scattered across the globe, isolated, alone, hiding in small groups biding our time, like the beings you call Sasquatch or Bigfoot."
I jump to my feet. "Wait, are they real? Bigfoots?"
"Intelligent Deinonychi living in secret isolation for millennia, it makes perfect sense. But Bigfoots? Come, Mr. Collins, don't be ridiculous."
And he actually physically pushes me back down into my chair and continues.
"In 1923, Madame Marie Curie was on a research expedition in Russia and found me, bleeding and barely alive in a bear trap. She exclaimed, 'Mon Dieu, cette pauvre créature,' and saved me from death."
Marie chimes in.
"He was so brave, not a single tear, with a smile on his face."
Calvin gives her a polite little nod, although I catch a little eye roll in there.
"Ah, yes, Marie. In any event, we spoke at length, and..."
I raise my hand, ever the good student. "Sorry, question. You knew French?"
"Ah, I keep forgetting. You are ignorant. You see, we Deinonychi do not have enormous brains, but they are extremely dense with neurons, making us, obviously, much smarter than most humans. How do you think we were able to evade discovery for millions of years? Hold on. If you're so smart, why didn't you evolve and build cities and take over instead of humans? His eyes flicker. Is that rage? Maybe he's just constipated. There are things, Mr. Collins, I'm afraid you wouldn't understand, including the fact that we can learn languages like French in mere moments. Moving on. Marie smuggled me here to Paris under absolute secrecy and began teaching me about radioactivity, and soon I was helping her with her experiments. Marie crosses to him and pats his arm.
Calvin here helped me win the Nobel in 1911, though I couldn't give him credit, of course.
I'm not bitter.
I didn't say you were bitter, my son.
Please don't call me that in front of guests, Marie. Gee, I'm not catching even the slightest whiff of bitterness in there, Calvin. Kindly shut up, Mr. Collins. Calvin's death claw taps impatiently on the tile floor. May I continue? I shudder. This guy creeps me out. But he takes my involuntary body shake as a yes and moves on. In 1933, as I believe happened in your dimension as well, Hitler was named Chancellor of Germany and immediately began his explorations into the occult and conspiracy theories, one of which, of course, was our existence. He managed to find and capture a clutch of 7 Deinonychi, corralling them into a prison laboratory, forcing them to learn as much as possible about nuclear energy. They were given numbers, not even names, and tasked with a singular goal. The atomic bomb. Yes, Mr. Collins, perhaps you're not as cretinous as you look. I smile. I mean, I know it was an insult wrapped in a compliment, but whatever, I'll take it. Marie and I found out, of course, as our contributions to the study of radiation were instrumental to their research. She tried to bring her discovery to the authorities, but at that time, before the war, there was no reason to believe any nefarious actions by the Germans were afoot. And so nothing was done. We were forced to... He stops, looks down, and Marie continues for him.
We allowed poor Calvin to be found and captured, to act as a spy.
She puts her arms around him.
And to sabotage the program.
Calvin physically winces. Damn, this is rough stuff. Dude, I'm sorry. He waves me off and continues. The program, titled Operation Dino Kaboom. Whoa, hold on. You said I was childish for calling you a dinosaur, and these guys call their top-secret atomic bomb program Operation Dino Kaboom? They were worse than childish. They were ignorant and stupid and evil. We were tortured, barely fed, worked until our brains couldn't think, and still they pushed. I slowly revealed to the 7 my true identity, secretly, as we had developed a language of clicks and body movements in order to speak freely among the Nazis. And so, in the months that followed, we developed a bomb, but not the bomb they were asking for. Wait, let me guess. And you dug a tunnel out of the dungeon lab and blew the place to smithereens. Calvin looks gobsmacked. That's number 3, by the way. How did you know that? Pete finally pipes up. He does that sometimes. Uses his brain. Makes a good guess out of nowhere.
Hey, I use my brain all the time, dude.
If you say so. Calvin harumphs. I mean, I've stolen his thunder a little, telling the climax of his story, but he's determined to get it back. I cannot tell you. Standing there outside the compound, watching the shitstorm. Ah, you were right about the title after all, Mr. Collins. Watching the shitstorm unfold before us as Nazis fled in all directions and flames devoured everything around us. It was the first time I had seen destruction on such a scale. There is nothing like it, watching something burn like that. Kaboom, indeed. His eyes are dancing in his head like a crazy man, reliving it. Then he exhales and looks around at us. It was terrible, but we survived, the 8 of us, and disappeared to the far corners of the globe. The program was gone. The Nazis began to falter, and ultimately, he looks out the window, we won. Gigi walks over to him and hugs his leg.
Thanks, Tyra.
Why does the child insist on calling me Tyra? See, we took her to this dinosaur park in Florida. Never mind. Dude, that's some dark stuff. But man, you saved everybody in this dimension from a pretty bleak future. You saved them from the end.
He looks wistfully at me. I did, didn't I?